This is Katie Harth with Mission Network News, and today I've got my good friend Ron Hutchcraft on the line from Ron Hutchcraft Ministries, and we're taking a look at the current events, in this case, the coronavirus, and it's really, you know, with the lockdown and precautions and everything, fear has gone viral. That's the post, the title of a post, too, recently on the blog, but in that blog, Ron talks about how, you know, God's message is really to fear not. So, Ron, can you start us off today by explaining kind of those two differing perspectives, and then we'll go from there.
It's funny when you said that you're doing the news today, and you said, like the coronavirus story, is there any other news? That is the news today, isn't it?
Very true.
Newscast is there was an earthquake a few days ago in Utah, and like any earthquake, the damage was localized. In this case, we got a corona quake going on, and it is like a worldwide quake, and it's shaking scores of nations and lives everywhere. And in a headline I saw on cable news, it said it is transforming lives around the world. I doubt there's anybody that's connecting with this interview that their life in some way isn't changing already, and it sounds like in our country it may even change more. You know, the most repeated command in the Bible is do not fear. It's hundreds of times. It's over and over and over again, and often it is said in a situation where there's a lot of reasons to be afraid, like there are now. I think anybody could enumerate them. We don't need to take time. The news is doing a good job of that. And you wonder how that can be to not fear when there seems to be so much to fear in a fearful time. And, I think there is a wonderful statement in Scripture that I came across just a couple of days ago, because I've been asking the Lord in my Jesus time to say, okay, Lord, what do you want to say to us through all of this? And listen to this from Psalm 29:11. Somebody needs this today. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. Hold on. A flood is what this feels like. I mean, every hour there's a flood of new information, new dangers. But the Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. And the Lord blesses his people with peace. Hello. And I'm praying for all of, for myself and for our staff and for my family and for everybody who's listening today, the wonderful prayer of Romans 15, verse 30, that says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'll say this, that our first responsibility right now, and then we need to talk about other people in our world, but our first job is to make sure that we get God's message for us every new day. Right now, our perspective is going to be so warped by the enormity of this situation. It's easy not just to go beyond being informed about it, which we should be, to being consumed by it, which we shouldn't be. And so it's so important, and more important maybe than ever, for each of us as a son or daughter of God to set aside our Jesus time in the morning at the beginning of the day so we can get our head on straight, really get Jesus think for that day and for what we're about to hear and what we're about to encounter, and to take all of our fears and leave them with him. David said in Psalm 34, verse 4, and he was hiding in a cave for his life with King Saul's goons looking for him. He said, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. So there's real hope there. And so I found that I cannot, before I listen to the news, before I check out what's on my phone, before I check my texts, I need to be with Jesus. So our first job, if we're going to be any good in our world and any good to the people who who love us and look to us. You got to show up for God's message to you each morning. There's a wonderful question to ask the Lord every morning. Joshua asked it when he met the angel of the Lord just before the battle of Jericho. It wasn't much of a battle, just before the miracle of Jericho. And he said, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" How about every new day, you start your day not with a list of fears, a list of things to do, but how about starting with him and saying, "What message does my Lord have for his servant today? Get me ready to think right about this day." Okay, then I think let's start to move on to our mission as followers of Christ in our world today. Look, this is tough, but you're going through right now. It's tough, and you got Jesus. Now imagine all the people around you who are facing the very same fears, the very same dangers, the very same possibilities. They got no Jesus. They're doing this without a Savior. There's a wonderful statement in Philippians 2, verse 15, and a wonderful word picture. Now, if it's daytime where you are and you look up in the sky, I'd ask you the question, are the stars out right now? You might be tempted to say no, because you can't see them. But go out when it's dark. Oh, yeah, you'll see them. Well, Philippians 2:15 says, we are to shine like stars in the sky. You know when the stars show up the most? When it's darkest. We're supposed to show up most when it's darkest. And I'll tell you, in our world right now, it's getting darker every day because of the long-term effects of this virus. But if you've gotten up in the morning and you spent your time with Jesus and you're able to say, this is the day the Lord has made. No, not this is the day the virus has made. This is the day the Dow Jones average has made. This is the day the government has made. No, no, no. This is the day the Lord has made. So I will rejoice and be glad in it. And one of the things that God no doubt is trying to accomplish through all of this is to give us what might be an unprecedented opportunity to help some people we care about be in heaven with us someday. There's a temptation right now to retreat. You know, think of a bugle call in the military. Is your bugle blowing retreat? Or is it blowing taps? Time to go to sleep? Or is it blowing reveille, time to wake up? Or is it blowing charge? We got work to do. We've got work to do, and now is our time to do it. Because against this dark sky, I'm telling you, people are starved for hope. They're starved for something they can hang on to, because every life anchor right now seems to be shaking. Health, job, we can't even get together and meet. Even our relationships, are literally supposed to be more distant. What a time for what you have to offer. Now, let's think about what is our message. Katie, I have to tell you a personal story. Is that allowed?
Yeah, you can. And then I will ask a question after that.
Okay, very good. When I was a kid growing up on the south side of Chicago, I was a White Sox fan, of course, south side. And I had my paraphernalia and my baseball cards. And we had a neighborhood bully. His name was Boomer. Now, will you explain to me why any mother would name her kid Boomer? He was predestined for bullyhood. Maybe she didn't. Maybe he earned it. But he was bigger than all of us. And he would take our stuff and beat kids up and intimidate us. And one day I got really sick of it. So I went down the street, and I went where no one ever went, the red zone, the dead zone. I went to the back porch and the back door of Boomer to get my stuff back. Now, at first you might say, well, Ron, you must have been a brave little guy. Well, actually, see, my father went with me, and that made all the difference. See, Boomer was bigger than I was. My father was bigger than Boomer was. Folks, we're facing a boomer right now. And the boomer's bigger than you are. But your father is bigger than Boomer is. And that is the relationship God has given us with him that we must not keep to ourselves at a time like this. Not at a time when everything Jesus can do for a human heart is what people are desperate to have done. They just don't know, because maybe nobody's told them yet. And so what's our message? I'll summarize it this way. And by the way, it is best if you share it first person. In other words, not you need this, that's second person, but make it your hope story. Let them hear your story of how you're handling this and how your personal relationship with Jesus is enabling you to deal with the fear, the uncertainty, and even some of the hurt that goes with this. So basically, here's my story, and probably yours too. I have someone who loves me infinitely, who is all-powerful, who is bigger than the pandemic, and he has my life in his hands. That is safety, and that is security.
Yes, it is. And I'm sorry to cut you off. Didn't mean to interrupt, but I did want to get a question in because, you know, we've talked a lot about fear and, you know, the prevalence of that, but courage is contagious too. I mean, you only have to read the book of Joshua and realize that. So how you guys talk to people on so many different platforms, how are you encouraging Christians to be courageous Christians, and maybe how can we learn from that?
Well, I think that first of all, I'm glad you mentioned the word encourage and different platforms, because I think everybody in ministry, every media ministry, radio, television, internet, there are some of our tools that we're not able to use right now, like public gatherings, but there's nothing to keep us from taking and making the most of every technological platform we have got. Thank the Lord, in our time, we can show up in people's lives with Facebook live posts and with all kinds of social media uses, blogs, you know. I can give you some examples right now. I think our first step is to demonstrate the love of Christ. Many times these days you'll hear Christians described as, you know, hateful and prejudiced and angry. And this is our time to prove that we are the we want to be the agents of the deliverers of the love of Jesus into people's lives. So I would say, you know, Matthew 5:16 puts it this way: let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works, and then as a result, glorify your Father in heaven. So you start out and say, rather than me just thinking about me and being in survival mode, I want to think about the people, my neighbors, I want to think about people I work with. Now, you may not be able to go and be with them physically, but if you have a smartphone, you ought to lay it down and put it on an altar and dedicate it to Christ right now and say, Lord, I want this to be a way of delivering encouragement and hope and help and love to some people who are feeling increasingly isolated, lonely, disconnected, afraid, and desperate. And it doesn't always have to be about Jesus every time. It might be something that might even put a smile on their face and make them laugh. I read one guy yesterday who said, I didn't intend to give up this much for Lent. He was kind of using it as his sense of humor came through. That might be needed too. But then if you can, if it's possible for you to deliver anything to a senior citizen who may not be able to get food or may need somebody to go get medications for them, and there's not a delivery system to do that. Maybe you can help with that. My daughter is, she's contacted all her neighbors by a text and just said, I think all of us feel like we need to be prayed for right now. What can I pray for you? And, you know, people who have never expressed any spiritual interest are getting back to her. They want to be prayed for right now. You know what's better than just praying for them? If you can, get on the phone or do it by means of an email. Pray with them. Then you can have your relationship with God right in front of them. And let them feel your connection with God so they can perhaps even want something, that kind of closeness to God. I know that one local church here is just trying to provide childcare for the workers, of those who are essential workers in our country right now. And they're trying to help with childcare. I know another church that is trying to provide some meals for people who may not have them. Think of the needs of people around you, not just your own. Here's ultimately what we have to tell people about Jesus. There is an unshakable security when everything else has failed. There is a refuge that's always available, a place to go with your fears, to someone who can handle them better than you can. There's a love, one love, that's unlosable, of which the Bible says nothing can ever separate us from the love of God. And there's a heaven that's guaranteed should the worst come. All of those are things that are wrapped up in a personal relationship with Jesus. And I can say as a personal testimony, and I know that millions could say this, Jesus is the anchor that has stood the test of the fiercest storms in life. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because you are with me. That's what to give. If you're ever going to give it. Because hearts are hurting, hearts are ready, and you have what they're looking for.